March 20th, 2024. This is City View, a podcast, Quincy podcast with Mayor Tom Koch. I'm his media director, Mark Carey, and it is a pleasure for me to be in the mayor's office. Good afternoon, Mayor.
Hello, Mark.
On this really kind of nice yet gloomy day at the same time.
It's that time of year. You go out in the morning, you're not sure what to put on because it's chilly in the morning, but by noontime it warms up again.
And it is.
Starting to see stuff come up through the ground, the jonquils and crocuses, and so it's a good time of year.
I don't even know what those mean.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. I'm a good Irish boy from Quincy, but I don't have a green thumb, although I do have a green heart. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anyway, let's just keep moving on. That's the look of death,
get
folks.
Your thumb out of your, never mind.
So, Mayor, it's been a couple of weeks, and again, it's hard to track you down because you're a busy guy, and there's a lot happening in this office, a lot happening around the city. We've already touched on a lot of great projects that have been happening with the city. We'll touch base on those again, especially from last we spoke about the topping off of the new building for the emergency management building.
Police, fire. Emergency management's third.
That's right.
So sorry. Get Ali Sleeman too excited.
That's right. Public safety headquarters.
Correct.
Excuse me, folks. So we did talk about that. We're not going to talk about that today. Let's today talk about what we've all been talking about for years now and been very excited about, the Quincy 400 initiative that we celebrate next year.
It's coming up, isn't it?
It is. It is coming up. So we've spent a lot of time.
Yeah, Bilotti had it wrong. He said 2 years out, I believe, at the breakfast in South Boston, I was told.
He did. That was an interesting breakfast. Did you see that?
I didn't, and from what I hear, I'm glad I didn't waste my time.
Well, he was the funniest,
I'm sure
I think,
he was good,
of all of them, and it's just not the way it used to be. I made the mistake of watching the Billy Bulger breakfast from 1987, which you can watch on YouTube.
Okay.
And then I watched this year's, and it's just a different animal. I mean, it's a completely
different. Well, the world has changed. You can't say anything anymore without offending somebody, so it makes it that much more challenging to tell a joke.
I know, but we just have to lighten up a little bit.
I agree.
Anywho.
I picked on the Germans for all these years.
So next year, 2025, is the city's 400th anniversary as a settlement. And for years now, we've met and had many charrettes, many community meetings.
And
many,
what was the first settlement, Mark?
The first settlement, Wollaston Hill.
Oh.
What do you mean? Wait.
Marymount
up on Wollaston. Sorry, excuse me. I knew that. What am I saying, Wollaston Hill?
Folks, he's going to edit that out.
I knew that Marymount was where the Maypole was and all that, of course. And I've talked to our friends from the Massachusetts, which we'll get into.
You get it wrong. Just move on.
All right. So we've already done a bunch of those. We had a survey that we did online. Thousands of people were part of all this stuff. And then COVID happened. Yeah. So we did have a charrette right before COVID. The beginning of the year of 2020, and that was the last one. But many projects that a lot of the people were asking for, we've already been working on. So
correct.
We're here. We're at the cusp of our 400th anniversary. There are a lot of projects in the works, things that we've talked about from the Performing Arts Center that you've already talked about several times, which we'll talk about more in the future. But now let's talk a little bit about what next year is going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's upon us. So what we have done, as you know, Mark, is we've kind of reshuffled the office a little bit. Someone that worked for me part-time is now full-time. Karen O'Toole, who's working with everybody here, needed somebody almost full-time on this. For starters, we're trying to work on the calendar, right? So getting a calendar done in place, because we're busy cities, a lot going on. We don't want to be in competition with others on events and things. So we're trying to get all the departments, what they do next year, integrate the calendars into one. There may be some overlap, but and the other piece is, as you know, if we're going to do a big act or two at the stadium, you know, you got to book those things way out in advance. So getting that calendar set is kind of crucial, and then we can build on the events once we book stuff in. But as you know, we've talked about a lot of different aspects of this. There's no right or wrong, although I am quite sure that I keep seeing bubbles blowing up by the window here. I don't know if somebody's Lawrence Welk is downstairs.
No, you're not seeing things. There are kids with bubbles downstairs,
I think.
That's
what it is. Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Shiny. Something shiny. That's like me.
But anyway, I'd rather look outside than look at your face. So I happen to see the bubble.
I have a face for podcasting.
At any rate, you did mention there was a lot of work done on this. We talked about a lot of themes, and we called them pillars. And though the formal structure came apart with COVID, we didn't stop working. We didn't stop getting things done. We've accomplished a great deal since that time. So now it's crunch time, because now it's really setting up those dates, as I mentioned, getting in the calendar. But, you know, let's talk about some of those things we're doing. You know, for example, I think, as we've talked about before, one of the early connections we made a few years back with our friends from the Ponkabog Band.
Ponkabog Band of the Massachusetts Tribe.
Correct. Yeah. And you know, they were here long before us. Our ancestors were here. And so we've had a great partnership working with them. And I don't want to get too far into that because I know we've talked about that. But one of the things we committed, certainly I committed to, was work with them on building a monument that they are designing. There's an RFP out for that. It would really honor the history of them being part of this community for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Long before we arrived. So there's a great story there with those folks. I know we deal with Farris on a regular basis, but there's other members of the council that and we're working with. So we're going to have a location at Squaw Rock. And we're going to, I think we'll walk on the site. I think it might be in the, it was in the calendar. I think we got to get back. But
next
to
week.
Pick out, you know, Squaw Rock is the area we've kind of identified that the monument should go because it's considered very sacred land to this group. And it will be, it's called the Three Sisters, but I don't want to get too far into it to give it away. But we did an RFP for an artist, a sculptor, and so we're in the process for that. As you know, we also want to tell their story in our school curriculum as we continue to work with them and formalize the arrangement and formalize their story in writing. I also know they're trying to get national designation status, whatever the right terminology
recognition,
is,
yep.
Recognition.
Yep.
So that's a good piece, and that's well underway.
Well, and that's a you mentioned the fact, and this is one of the things, I don't want to glaze over this because it is a really important, probably a national, if not international story, that we have never told their story properly in our curriculum, things like that. So beside the statue.
We never knew their story.
I know.
I mean, until they really stepped forward. And it came out of that whole passing, I guess, it down by Broad Meadows.
Yep.
with that. It's, I think, the first time I met Wren and Farris. And I think they were just lumped in with... Mm-hmm. And so now we're finding out, hey, wait a minute here. We had our own group here, the Ponkapog tribe, that has a tremendous history, that lived here, they summered here, they farmed here, they fished here, and then they would go to Walpole and Franklin for the winter months. So
Chickatobit was there.
Yeah, yeah. Chickatobit was the big guy.
Yeah.
No question about it. So it'd be nice to get that, as we've talked about, this story told. This story recognized by the federal government, and we'll continue to work with them. So, and as you remember, that whole controversy about taking Squaw out of everything, we called Farris and said, what do you guys think about Squaw Rock? He said, don't touch it. He said, leave it alone.
It's part of our language.
That's right. Yeah. He said, this is being way overdone. When you name something like that, Squaw Rock, it's not offensive. I guess when squaw used in certain ways, it is offensive.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not done that. So they said, keep it. We're keeping it. You know, I don't care about the Secretary of the Interior, what they think. It's not federal land. It's our land.
It's part of their language. But, you know, one of the beautiful things about Farris Gray is the person who's been our contact with the Ponkapog Band of the Massachusetts Tribe.
Right.
We were sitting in here one day. You had called a meeting with Farris and a couple of the guys from the from their tribe. And while we were sitting here talking about the statue, talking about getting their history into the curriculum and in our tourism story and all that, while we're sitting here, and this has never happened before or since that we've seen, a bald eagle comes flying toward us as we're sitting on the third floor of your office, looking out the window, a bald
looking at the
eagle.
Hancock Adams Common. Yep.
They're looking straight ahead, and a bald eagle's coming right at us.
Yep,
and they
swooped up.
Wasn't that
went
wild?
Over the building. It was
And
was
they took that as a major sign, which I thought was beautiful, too. It's a nice thing.
And it didn't drop anything on my windows, so it was, I guess
so it was a double plus. Great
thing. No, we see hawks. We see a lot of things here, but I've never seen a hawk, I mean an eagle, fly over City Hall. They're around now once again, which is awesome. But at any rate, we'll continue to work with them. And then we've got other categories and other things. We put an RFP out, for example, for that's a request for a proposal. I shouldn't make assumptions with people. As we go to purchase anything in the city, we got to follow purchasing guidelines and the law. So we're putting an RFP out for a sign maker. So some of the signs that people may have seen for the President's Trail, the blue and white ones, we're going to expand on that across the city for, you know, architectural gems, for historical spots, for identifying. It may be freestanding signs, for example, just looking across the street. One of Frederick Coddington, who was William Coddington. You know, he left a track of land to the people of Quincy back in such a day. And then you could have plaques go on buildings like the 1400 Bank Building, which is iconic in Quincy.
1400 Hancock, yeah.
Remix, you know, be a plaque going on Remix to identify the building and what was there. All these kind of cool stuff.
Because some of those old signs that were up there 100 years ago. Talk about those, because some of those
That was a state initiative. Yeah, that was Commonwealth of Massachusetts. They were the aluminum-looking ones with the black and gray lettering.
In 1930.
There's two left. The Hummocks has one, and the Ann Hutchinson plaque at the firehouse in Wollaston has one.
That's it.
Yeah, not Marymount, Wollaston. but, you know, this is kind of a little bit of takeoff on that. In fact, when I was traveling to D.C. in Philadelphia last year, and you start to look around, you look for these things and see these things. And D.C. has a wonderful setup. They call them Points of Life, and they've got bronze plaques in the ground, which we couldn't do here because of the winters we have. But it gives you ideas. Philadelphia, I ate at Ralph's Eatery, and there's a sign out front that says it's the oldest Italian restaurant in the country. Now, I don't know who's going to argue it, but so, you know, it's kind of cool. It adds to the flavors. You walk through the streets down there and so forth. So we're going to do similar things, and we're trying to pick off things through the centuries, right? We don't want it to be dominant on a certain 50 years. We're trying to sprinkle things throughout those times. Now, there's a lot more going on in the 20th century, of course, than there was in the 18th century.
Yep.
But nonetheless, we're trying to identify all those things. And I know there's the obvious ones, Dunkin' Donuts and Howard Johnson's and Grossman's, and history-wise, it's the shipbuilding, it's the granite industry.
Adams's.
But there's a lot more to it than those and that. Although I think we can do a better job honoring Howard Johnson than that, what looks like a grave marker by the Wollaston Tea Station. So, everything's on the table. So we get that program. We get the Heritage Tree Program, which we've talked about. Certainly, I talked about it at my inauguration. We're picking out at least 25 locations in the city where we would plant a large specimen of different types of species throughout the city, tell a little bit of the story of the tree, but then use that as an opportunity to tell a story, whether it's a neighborhood story, an immigrant story, an individual story, an organizational story. It'll give us cause to do that. And so these will be good-looking trees. We'll put irrigation with them. I want these things to be around for a long time, so we'll do it the right way for sure. And that'll be something Commissioner Murphy will be working with us on. So there's the Heritage Tree Program. There's the other sign program. We're still also putting an RFP out for a sculptor to potentially do a sculpture of something or some things. We don't know yet. Right. But we want to be ready. So we get all the paperwork lined up. We get all the process done so that we can make a decision and boom, have things done. I know that you're well aware, Mark, that John Quincy Adams is finished and he's on a boat.
On his way over.
From Italy, yeah. On his way over. So last time he took a boat ride was probably with his father. But at any rate, there's a lot of pieces to all this. And then, of course, we'll continue to engage the public, and we're trying to identify how far we go in the immigrant stories. There's so many different nationalities that arrived here. And I know that, certainly I'm of German descent. There weren't a lot of Germans here, but there were a lot of Italians, a lot of Irish, a lot of Swedes.
Finnish
and Swedes. And I know in these days we see a lot of Asians, whether they're from China, Vietnam.
India.
We got a lot of Albanian now, Eastern European. So, it continues to change and evolve. But, I'd like to remind some of the newcomers, there were people here before you. And we want to tell their stories to cement their time in history. And quite frankly, the immigrants back then, they built the country. I mean, how many died building bridges and dams and tunnels and people working in the granite industry that, died from an accident? They didn't have OSHA back then. Safety wasn't number one.
So the quarries,
shipbuilding, same thing. So these stories should be forever remembered and told to the newer generations as we go forward. There's so many pieces. People go by Parker School. Colonel Francis Parker was a famous educator. He was a superintendent here in Quincy. He developed the Quincy method, which went across the country in how they were teaching at that time. So there's a million stories. Where do you start and stop,
Well, part of what you've commissioned us to do is we meet on this twice a week. There's a small group here in the mayor's office. We will add that on and have other committees too, as you had mentioned, that will follow us. But at the same time, in meeting every week, we're talking about getting researchers out to look, because there are so many different people. I mean, talk about the woman, which we're still doing some research in, but there's the first African-American female author.
First published
author is buried in Quincy.
Buried in Mount Wilson Cemetery. And we just learned of that a few weeks ago.
And what's the criteria? So, like, there are people that, like, J. Kilrain was the heavyweight champion. He settled here, ended up working at the shipyard. His family settled here. He died here. And he's buried here, but he wasn't born here. So what's the criteria? First original donut guy is buried in Germantown. We're laying that out, trying to figure out what the criteria is.
Yeah, and I would say, generally speaking, look, whether you were born here or you died here, it's what you did in between and what the contributions were. So it doesn't matter to me if you were born somewhere else. And I mean, Abigail Adams wasn't born here. She was born in Weymouth.
Dropkick Murphys say that they started here. They rehearsed here. This was their home. That's what they call Quincy their home.
So there's a million of these stories that we've uncovered. And we, as you know, we've been working with Ed Fitzgerald and Alexander Elliott from the Historical Society. We've been working with Tim Cahill on the business side to help us tell the history of the business and commerce side of things. I've been meeting with the superintendent of schools, Kevin Mulvey, assistant superintendent Aaron Perkins, and they're getting involved with the principals and department heads. Okay, what can we do during the school year beyond the curriculum stuff, but some fun stuff for the kids to do? And this is an essay contest. We talked about having an oratory-type contest. We talked about the plays both high schools do, now they do them together. You know, could it be something historical rather than, you know, like this year they're doing Beauty and the Beast, which is awesome, but maybe it's
1776
or something like that. So all these pieces, the libraries are working on some programs that they'll do next year. So there's all these pieces to it we're pulling together. I'm sure there won't be any shortage of criticism for my critics out there, but this is going to be a year of celebration. We should come together as a community to celebrate who we are, where we've come, how far we've come. And there's been enough of the other stuff going on since the pandemic that, you know, we need more things to bring us together as a community to show us that we are unified in so many ways, that we don't have to be, the subject shouldn't be driven about what separates us all the time and divides us. It should be, you know, remembering our history and all these people that did what they do to create and leave the city that we have today, that we hope to leave a little bit better to the next generation.
Well, and one of the beautiful things, and I think they're really topping off of this, as you said, John McDonald does a great job at the events that he's been putting on. We're going to enhance those events, all of those events, and add on to those events, including, like, you know, speaker series. It could be an author coming to speak. It could be a visiting poet or whatever it may be, art installations we could possibly have we're looking at. We're looking at, and then, of course, a couple of major events.
Yeah, we did an RFP for artists, too, to look at the underpasses. For example, Hancock Street Bridge, go down to Sagamore underneath, get West Street, that overpass for the highway, Willard Street. We're constantly repainting those walls because of graffiti. Well, how about we do murals on those walls? I don't think the folks that are into the graffiti world would offend a true artist having a mural. So there's that RFP out there, too. So there's just so many pieces to this thing, Mark, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Obviously, we're going to try to raise a lot of private money to help us put on these events. It's not going to be all borne by the taxpayer, but that will allow us with the outside funding source to do some really cool big things.
And we've been meeting with staging people, big lighting people, and big, obviously, bookers to have those big shoes, you know, to bring in some, what are they, the second tier. We couldn't bring in a Taylor Swift, but we could bring in like three levels under her. We could bring in other people that, you know, other bands or other musicians or things like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a really exciting time to look forward to. Next year is going to be a year of celebration, but it's going to be so much more. And I love that when you talk about the Heritage Tree Program, which I really didn't understand at the beginning, now I really do, and I think it's a beautiful thing to just go on beyond our 400th anniversary.
Indeed. And we want to be leaving some things that remind us of the 400 years, or we'll be going into the next 100 years for folks. But we want to be doing some things that are impactful, that people remember, and visitors alike will get to appreciate the community even more.
And all of the stories from Plymouth to Boston, 2020 to 2030, we're smack dab in the middle. The spotlight's going to be on Quincy because unfortunately, Plymouth was right in the middle of the pandemic. I mean, they had some major monies behind some major events there, and they couldn't pull them off. Same with Weymouth and all the ones right after that. But 2025 is a great year. And then, of course, Boston is 2030. And then we're on the cusp of the 250th 50th anniversary of the country on the 2026, the
next
year.
That's exactly right. We've had conversations with the governor, lieutenant governor on that. I know we're in some financial challenges right now, but these things are once in a lifetime, and I do hope that the state steps it up big time. Massachusetts, as we said before, should own this celebration.
Yeah.
It all started right here.
The bicentennial.
The Boston Massacre, Lexington Concord, the whole Hancock Adams, Sam Adams, Otis, all these folks that put it all on the line, and then, of course, got the other colonies involved and supporting, and which led to where we are today. So, we should really be owning this thing. And, of course, we're going to talk more about the Adams Presidential Center as part of the future as well, and that's exciting. And we can get into that a little bit more some one of these coming shows. I believe the board is about to hire a director for the facility, which is very exciting. And I'll leave it till later, but he's a national known name, so it's good stuff.
Fantastic. That's exciting. Lots to talk about, lots to look forward to in this city, as we should, as these are the kind of things that we hope don't divide us anymore when it comes to, say, a Quincy 400 type of thing. And then, of course, Revolution 250, where the country, we hope, comes together a little bit more.
Sure. I should mention, we talk about a lot of different things. Eric, a couple weeks ago, reminded me that as a Quincy High graduate.
Eric Mason,
yeah. My chief financial officer. Chief nerd in the building, good man. He knows a little bit about everything. He pointed out about this Dr. Woodard, who, famous chemist, went on to win a Nobel Prize.
He's the Quincy only Nobel Prize, the only Nobel Prize laureate from Quincy.
Okay,
another sure person we should celebrate. That's what. Listen, Eric is the guy when it comes to the Nobel Prize laureates. He's a Nobel Prize guy. That's what he told us. So I believe him at this point.
I think there was somebody else, but we'll get back on that one.
Well, no one I hung around with.
That's for sure.
We'll see you next
time.
There's
some real prizes, but not that kind.
City View, Podcast, Quincy Podcast, and Mayor Tom Koch.